Welcome to the Becoming Whole podcast, where we help men, women, and families learn and live God's good, holy, and beautiful design for sexuality. I'm your host, Josh Glazer, and we're glad you're here. You ready? Let's dive in. Have you ever said, or have you ever heard your spouse say something along these lines? If you don't have sex with me, I'm going to be tempted to stray. I'm going to be tempted to look at porn or masturbate or have sex with somebody else. This kind of message is destructive and faulty to the core. And I think it's usually, not always, but usually it's a man suggesting to his wife something along these lines. So if you are a husband listening or a wife listening, I want to speak to that today. If you're not married, I think there's still going to be something in this for you today, because this kind of stuff is in the airwaves and I want to get after it. I was reading an article recently where some people were talking about how brain differences between men and women made it so that a man needs to have sex more frequently than his wife. Or I've heard people say things like, well, men are just visually stimulated, and so they're going to be tempted more often. And so a loving wife is going to help to mitigate some of the temptation by having sex more frequently with her husband. This is just so wrong. There's so many problems with this, and I want to get after a few of them in this podcast. I also want to just mention, I'm not coming at this to point fingers at anybody, but really because I want to call us to something much, much better than this. There's just some sinister, diabolical, degrading stuff beneath this. And I'll unpack that for you as we go. So Jesus, come guide us as we talk about this today. All right. So what are the problems with that? That idea that if your husband says he needs sex, he's going to stray, or he'll be more tempted elsewhere. What are the problems with that? Or if you're a husband or you're a man, or maybe it's flipped in your relationship and it's the woman who says these kinds of things. What's the problem with that? Number one, and I'm going to talk about this as kind of, it's men suggesting this just because that's more common. But if it's flipped for you and your relationship, then listen in. But number one, it places the man's sexual integrity on the woman. It places the husband's sexual integrity on the woman. So husbands, if you are saying to your wife, look, I need you to have sex with me because otherwise I'm just way too tempted, you are in essence saying to your wife, I don't have any sexual integrity inside of myself, or enough sexual integrity inside of myself. You need to have sex with me because I don't have that kind of sexual integrity. That places something that's your responsibility on your wife's shoulders. And that is not fair. It's not fair. Now, I know that for some men who are on a journey towards growing in sexual integrity, there is a legitimate, but there's a just realistically that if a man can have more frequent sexual intimacy with his wife, he may experience less temptation other places. Sure, that's true, but it's still your responsibility. It is not your wife's responsibility, and there's much, much more to the picture. And if you place this on her shoulders, then you are not owning what you need to own, and you're actually commiserating with some things. You're complicit in some other problems that can create in your relationship with your wife. So number two, it removes the cross of Jesus from the equation. That idea of, if you don't have sex with me, I'm going to be more tempted to stray, removes the cross of Jesus. And here's how it does that. I'm not saying that people are doing that on purpose, but in essence, it says that that guy doesn't need to be saved from his sexual sin, but rather sexual sin needs to be just held at bay. And the wife can hold sexual sin at bay by having sex with her husband, or she can satisfy him sexually, then it'll hold sexual sin at bay. So in addition to it putting the sexual integrity of the man's responsibility for sexual integrity on his wife, it also, in essence, basically stops calling sexual sin what it is. And it starts to say, like, this is just a part of who I am. I mean, especially if people are pulling in stuff like, you know, brain differences or brain chemistry or visual stimulation or higher libido or just the way that men are, all that stuff. I mean, that's attempting to just kind of skirt the issue of sexual sin and to say my sexual immorality or my sexual sin is not the issue here. It's your unwillingness to have sex with me. And that is just so wrong. Men, don't discount yourself from needing the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus is actually for you. It is meant for your good. It is a gift from God because he loves you. Don't skirt that. Face it. Where you find yourself struggling to be a sexually integrous man, instead of placing that on your wife, go to Jesus with your struggle. I know that that might sound overly simplistic, but it's true. If we try to resolve this in some other way by just kind of holding sin at bay, then we miss out on the power of the cross of Jesus to bring forgiveness, cleansing, and transformation into our lives. Number three, it's degrading to women. It's degrading to women. It turns your wife into an outlet for sexual release. And she is never meant to be an outlet for sexual release. She is not a thing. I don't want to be crass here, but I know that for some wives in this kind of relationship, it can feel like they are being treated as a masturbatory tool. Like, you know, it's either me or something else, you know, basically, because that's basically what the message is. If you don't have sex with me, I'm going to be too tempted and I'm going to go do something else. I'll masturbate, I'll look at pornography, I'll have an affair. You're basically saying, and this is why it's so degrading, I don't need you. I just need something. I just need some kind of sexual release, some kind of outlet for my sexual desire. Oh, and sisters, if you're listening to this, I just want to say to you, you are not meant, you are never designed by God to be a sexual outlet. You are designed to be a wife who is cherished. And men, I know that, I trust that deep in your heart, the Spirit of God lives in you, that your heart is to cherish your wife. She is designed by God to be a woman to be loved, a woman to be loved and cherished, honored. Now, wives, again, you know, I'm not saying that you hold this out over your husband, but I am saying you are designed by God to be his love, not his outlet. And here I could just dive in real quickly to 1 Corinthians 7. I think this passage has been misused in this context sometimes. Paul writes, beginning in verse 1, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." And that this is the NASB, not a great translation there because but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife and likewise also the wife to her husband. And I know that people have held out that verse and said, look, you got to have sex with me. You got to perform your wifely duty. And then he goes on to say, you don't have authority over your own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband also to the wife. And then he goes on to say, you know, don't deprive each other because otherwise you might be tempted. Paul is not in any way, though, trying to dismiss somebody's need to grow in sexual integrity. And a matter of fact, to a first century audience, the primary emphasis here, the scandal in what I just read, is how much ownership the wife has over the husband's body, how much authority she has over his body, not the other way around. Because wives were viewed as property in this time. And so for Paul to write what he wrote here, what would catch most of his audience's attention, first and foremost, would be, hey, listen, the wife actually has a say here and it matters. Listen to her. So so number three, again, it's degrading to women to say that you need to have sex with me or I'm going to stray, be more tempted to stray. It's just degrading to women. Number four, it's degrading to men. It's degrading to men. Men, if you said something like this to your wives or to your wife, that you need to have sex with me or I'm going to be tempted to stray. If you believe that about yourself, you're believing a degrading message about you. Certainly, if you have a healthy, loving sexual relationship with your wife, you may find that temptation is less of a factor for you. But you are designed to have mastery over your own sexual urges. And that is the trajectory that you're on. If you're not there yet, keep pursuing that. Don't shortcut that process by asking your wife to do something for you. Keep pursuing that. Again, I'm not saying you abstain until you have that, but abstinence is a part of growing in self-mastery. And so continue to press into that. You are designed to have self-control. You're designed to be taking responsibility for your own feelings. You don't want to be treated like a little boy who's got no impulse control. If that's the kind of the vision you have of where you're going to be sexually, like, you have too small a vision. Have a bigger vision. I mean, even with our little kids, like the fact that they, you know, whine and complain and say, you know, give me what I want or I'm going to scream. Like, we want them to grow out of that. And likewise, we want to grow out of those places in us that want to see somebody else, you know, quote unquote, satisfy us sexually so we're not tempted. It's degrading to man to believe that about ourselves. Number five, it mars the image of God. It mars the image of God. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul writes in Ephesians 5 that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And I'm going to read it specifically. He says, if I can find it here. Where is it? There he is. Okay. Husbands, love your wives just as, I'm beginning in verse 25 here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loves the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands, you ought to also love your own wives just as you love your own body. He goes on from there. He goes on to say that he's speaking about a mystery here, because he's comparing the husband to Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that the husband is actually Christ, but it does mean in all the ways that Jesus demonstrated integrity and self-control and self-restraint and was willing to suffer, to go against what his flesh desired in the moment in order to love his bride and pour out his life for his bride. I mean, if Christ didn't demonstrate self-restraint in his passion, then I don't know what self-restraint is. And so men, if I could just kind of change those words a little bit, in your own passion, grow in your capacity, seek Christ that you might grow in your capacity, that in your passion, you might be able to demonstrate self-restraint for your wife, for her sake. Now, listen, I say all this because we don't want to mar the image of God in how we act towards our wives. We want to be men who can self-restrain, who can have mastery over our own desires, so that our love for her isn't about selfish taking and isn't about manipulation, have sex with me or I'll be tempted, but rather is a gift. If we can't say no to sexual temptation, then what does our yes mean to her? I heard Christopher West say something like that years ago. Your ability to say no to your own sexual desire actually means that your yes to her means it's a yes to her, the fullness, the wholeness of her. It is not a yes to your own sexual desire. It is a yes to her. And as we are able to say yes to her, then she comes to know that she is our choice, that we have chosen her. Why? Not for selfish gratification, but because of love of her. That's the image of Christ that we are meant to demonstrate. And I'm just scratching the surface there. And all of this, I mean, let me say this, none of this is meant to minimize just the joy of sex, the pleasure of sex, the reality that sometimes we can feel tempted, both men and women can, but it is to try it just in a very quick way to reframe this whole conversation so that we, you know, whether it's you or your spouse who's saying something about, you know, have sex with me so I won't be tempted. I want to frame up for us a better, greater call. We are called to something more. Now, in the process, there's lots of freedom. In the process, on the journey, there is lots of freedom for giving and for taking, for deferring, for offering ourselves, and for working out how can we help each other with temptation along the way. But we do it as a free gift, not as something that's manipulated. And all of it always some points along the journey towards being people who have self-mastery so that we can offer ourselves one to another in love. All right. Lots that I said there. Leave a comment, shoot me an email if I missed something. Would love to hear from you, but I hope that's helpful for you. And again, no condemnation here, just a call to press ourselves into Jesus. Jesus, we need you. We are so selfish in our loves, Lord, and often what masquerades as love or passion for another person is actually just selfish. So Lord, continue to draw us into your heart that we might love as you love. And Lord, this is true in the sexual relationship between husband and wife. I also pray, Lord, that we would learn to love as you love in all of our relationships. We pray these things now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening in. If you find the content of this podcast helpful, make sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people find the show. And if you'd like to check out more resources to help you in your journey towards becoming more whole, go to regenerationministries.org. Again, I'm Josh Glazer, and we'll see you next time.